Jutta Stamos, Thursday the 17th of July, dying, Levi Yitzhak Raskin, the ins and outs of Mitzvahs Tefillin.
I'm always touched to come on a weekday morning, a busy day, and people come before they're going out to work to spend time learning Torah. Oh my God. I was asked to speak about halachas. I chose to speak about the topic of Hilchos Tefillin to connect it to the current moments where our thoughts are with Achenu Bnei Yisrael and Eretz HaKodesh, Oimdum al Hamishmor, under threat. We have the famous word of Chazal that through the Zchus of Tefillin, Yiskayim Biyanshe Hamulchomo V'Toraf Zroya Af Kodkoid, that through the merit of tefillin, which we wear on the arm and on the head, shall be fulfilled by those who go out to battle. V'torav zroya af kodkoy, they will succeed in their battle, cutting off the head and the arm of the enemy. The power of tefillin. I'm going to focus on halacha, but just one word here. Everyone knows the Gemara that tefillin tzrichin guf noki, ke'elisha bal knofayim, that the tefillin have to be worn in a state of cleanliness of the body, shelo yofiach bohen, we shouldn't pass wind when one's wearing tefillin. Why is that written, la'alocha, by tefillin and not by carrying a sefer Torah, for example? L'chayda, a sefer Torah is more holy than tefillin. It's got many, many more times Hashem's name. So why do we not find the din of guf noki by holding a sefer Torah? And why do we find the din of guf noki by wearing tefillin? The teretz is that when it says v'okshartem lo'is al yodecha v'hoyu l'toitzefes bein einecho, or zikorim bein einecho, the various psukim, the word is, Hashem is saying, really, you should be writing the tefillin on your body. You should be writing Hashem's name on your body. When you put the tefillin on your arm and on your head, it's as if you're inscribing Hashem's name and the parashas on your body itself. And therefore, the wearing of tefillin requires a nikiyus haguf, because you are as if the parchment where the ksav of the parashas are written. And therefore, we understand that the parashas themselves have to be noki, hence the need for the guf noki in the person. And that just brings out what is happening when we put on tefillin. We are as if inscribing at that moment the parashas, the four parashas on our very bodies. There are, as I mentioned just now, there are various parashas, four parashas which talk about the tefillin, and one place it says, Ula zikoro in bein einecho. So we have here, the shalrosh is meant to be made of four boxes, but lizikoro in echot. And therefore we have the din that the tefillin shalroish, the four compartments of the tefillin shalroish, have to be made me'ir echad, made from one skin, one piece of leather. There's two levels of me'ir echad, which I'll show you two samples. This is the more mehudar way of having the entire bayis made me'ir echad, from one single piece of leather. It's taken by Father Hareini Kaporas Mishkovoi, who was a shoychet, and he would bring to, we had a local batemacher, Zolazayn Gesund, Rabbi Samson, and he would bring leather, skin from the shkita for making tefillin. The best piece of leather is from the neck area, if you think about the need of flexibility of the neck. So it was the most supple piece of leather which would to maybe make tefillin. So this is one piece of leather, and the batemacher will take various blocks or bulges and stretch the leather and create four boxes. So here you have parallel the shalyad tefillin, made the same method. Obviously the shalyad is a simpler structure because it's only one box. Here you have four boxes stretched out, and therefore it's more difficult, and you see the creases which are bringing the lever together. The should we say, the simpler, less muhuder way of making the four batim meyoyed echod would be to have a piece of parchment and it's folded in a way that it creates four compartments, and then the lower part of the tefillin, which is called the titura and the ma'avarto, is made of a separate piece, and this is fitted into it, folded. So this is meyoyed echod, as you saw, it's one piece of parchment, it's then fitted into this, and so that's also called meyoyed echod, but it's not the full meyoyed echod. So when you look on the boxes, and it'll say sometimes, it's done meyoyed echod, im ham titura v'ma'avarto, now you understand the difference, where the first form is meyoyed echod, im hatitura, which is the titura means the bridge around it, im ma'avarto, with the back and the tunnel, and then there's a cheaper way, which is also kosher, but that is meyoyed echod, but not with the titura and the ma'avarto. The point being that here it is dalad zichroinus and zikoron echod. It's four compartments, so it's dalad zichroinus, but it's meyoyed echod, so it's therefore to fulfill the pasuk, all the zikoron, it should be a single item. The Rambam lists, there are various halacha or lemosha misinai, and one of them is that it should be ribua, it should be square. So the Rambam says there are three ribuim, three squares which are needed in the tefillin. One is the actual box, is square. The second one is the titura. So here we've got a pair of tefillin, and we've got that bridge around, for want of a better word, I'm calling it a bridge. That is called the titura, and that has to be square. And that's the reason why the bottom of the tefillin are cut in, so as to ensure that that should look square. If you wouldn't have those notches, it would be rectangular. So that is to ensure that this should be called, that this should have a ribua. Then also the stitching. You've got the stitching of the tefillin, and traditionally we have 12 stitches. So those also are in a square formation. That is the way that Rambam discusses this in Hilchos Tefillin. Rashi actually learns differently. Rashi in Gemenocha says, when it says that tefillin tzrichen liyos meruboim bitofron, or whatever the word is, bitfirason, he means like this, that the tefillin nowadays are quite rigid. They used to perhaps be more flexible, thinner leather. If you could think about it, if you'd tug the stitching one way or another, you might actually distort the square when you tie the when you sew the tefillin. So the way Rashi learns is, not that there's an intrinsic requirement of ribua in the stitching, it doesn't matter the stitching so much, as that when you sew it, you shouldn't pull the, you shouldn't distort the ribua, the square. Now, you saw before this example, the sample of tefillin, and it is important that the splits should go all the way down. There should be four batim, they should be separated all the way down. It's quite a difficult thing to do, because the leather is stretchy, and just like you can stretch it one way, it's a natural product, it may come back. So it's quite a skill to do this. Here you have a sample of tefillin, and this was made, it got spoiled in the process, that's why I have it. But you can see how the cuts, the separation between the batim goes all the way down, mamash all the way down into the space here, so that the parshas in no way are going to be in one chamber. You follow, if the split was only, let's say, 3/4 of the way, the parshas would be all the way, or sitting down, so the lower part of the parshas would be all in one bite, and the parshas should be separated, each one in a separate bite. There's a tshuva of a Tzimach Tzedek, where he talks about this problem, and fascinating, he says, you have a din in Erevin, where you've got a number of families who are in one hall, and it talks about whether they are one dwelling or not, And it says you've got the mechitzas between them. And the mechitzas don't reach to the ceiling. So then it's as if all those are in one chamber. So he borrows that precedent to say that if part of the tefillin is not separated, so then it's as if the parishes are all in one chamber. So that is something which the Sofrim, the Batim Machas, will make a point of, that the separation should go all the way down. There is a major controversy in Poskim. Is it okay to put glue in between? Now, there are different types of leather. You've got leather from gasus or dacus, leather from a cow, bull, which is stronger, and you have from a goat or from a cow, from a sheep, which is softer, it's easier to work with, and that means that even after you've made it, there's a certain pullback or stretchiness, which is going to be stronger in the gasus tefillin, and those who make the tefillin from cow's skin, sometimes will say it's very difficult to make it, that it should not pull back out, etc. And therefore there's a strong temptation to put a bit of glue in between those compartments, in those divides. There is a strong objection to that, because, as we said, it has to be four batim. If you put the glue there, it's going to become one bias. There is a quote from the Vilna Gaon to say, for vos truxtu, if you have glue between the batim, so it's like a shalyad, it's bayis echod, it's not dal batim. So why are you wearing a tefillin shalyad on your head? That's a quote from the Gro. The Baal Tanya, interestingly, also takes a strong position, not as sharp as the Gro, but he does say one should be very careful to separate between the batim because of there may be a bit of glue which fell in by accident. I don't know how widespread this is, and certainly there are those poskim who say b'diavad, the way the Loshon of the Gemara is, so long as it's nikir, that they are divided, it's okay. So there's a kind of spectrum of opinion how strong this emphasis should be. But they say there are poskim who are very machmir. There are those who say that if it's nikir b'chutz, that it's four separate ones, you're okay. You've got on the shalrosh, we have two shins, one on either side. And again, this is a local immersion misinai. These are made, one way of making them is to pinch the leather with the tweezers as you are making the bias, or to use a kind of stencil, which is pressed on with a clamp when they are being made, and that creates the shin. What is the significance of the shin? Many, many in your name, but one of them is the... It says, as I mentioned before about the Inyan of Milchoma, but it says, "Ro'u kol amei ha'oretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecho v'yoru mimecha." That the nations of the world will see the tefillin on your head. Tefillin is, this is a joke. Tefillin is called pe'er, and it's also the same words in English as PR. It's tefillin is a public announcement that we are Avdei Hashem, and that they're worn in a prominent way. V'ro'u kol amei ha'oretz, all the nations of the world shall see. Hashem, Hashem, nikra alech, Hashem, Deim is on your head, upon you. V'yoru mimecha, they will fear from you. So we've got good PR, so then the goyim will fear from us. So now, where is the Shem Hashem? So you have here the Shin. So one of the ways we all know is the Shin is from Shin Dalet Yud, the Dalet is at the back, and then you have the yud on the kesha of the shalyad. Then you've got shin dalad yud. This also says another thing. Shin is how much? 300. One of the ways of spelling Hashem's name, yud kei vav kei, is there's a system called atbash, where aleph interchanges with a tof, and so on. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. So yud kei vav kei would be mem and a tzaddik, and a pei and a tzaddik. So what's the gematria of that? Mem is 40, tzaddik is 90, that's 130, and pei is 100, is 80, so we're now on for 210, and then tzaddik is 300, yeah? So mem, so the shin, this is Bes Yosef in Hilchas Tefillin, he writes that the shin, the matter 300, is Shem Hashem, because it's Shem Havaya Be'atbash. Okay. Does that mean that the guy in the street understands this? Zichanish. But, okay, but that's one of the explanations of the Shem Hashem.
The shins got four heads.
So then, what's the difference between the two shin and one with four heads, one with three heads, is that the shin, you've got Osir Shaksav, And then you've got Oysis HaChakika. You've got the Luchas letters. The Luchas letters are by carving out. When you carve out, so you'll make four lines, and they will bring out three lines. So on the right side, as you're looking at the tefillin, is a ksav haluchas. That's why you've got four heads, and on the left side is like ksav haSefer Torah, and therefore, where you write the actual lines rather than create the lines through engraving. And so there you have a remez for both forms of ksav, of luchas and of Sefer Torah. There is a...
You said luchas is four, then...
When you want to, when you'll take a tablet,
yes,
and you want to create a shin,
yes,
you'd have to carve out four lines,
yes, yes,
and then you'd have three lines in relief.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
So what is the outer four?
Right, so let's take a look at this. In between those four heads, you've got now three spaces.
Yes.
So that is like the remez of the shin of the luchas.
Right. The other one?
And the other one's irregular ksav. You have ksav yereches and chak teches.
Right.
So this is ksav yereches. You just write the actual letter.
Right.
Lakon Sefer Torah. Here it's a remez to the ksav on the luchas,
right,
where you carve out and then you bring out in relief three lines. There is a discussion of which way the parshias are to be placed in the bias. Should they be placed vertically or should they be placed horizontally? The same machlokas as you have in Hilchos Mezuzah, whether the mezuzah should be vertical or horizontal, and that is the reason why the Minhag Yisrael is to put the mezuzah on a slant slightly, to be yotzei both opinions. There is also the reason why the bima is put on an angle, not only to make it easier for people like me who have bifocals, but it's also for... the Sfardim have got the minhag of having the Sefer Torah standing, one opinion, then we have the opinion of putting the Sefer Torah horizontal, so we have the Sefer Torah diagonally, and so to be kind of a pshara to make everyone happy. So in the tefillin, the general psaki is to put the tefillin, the parashas vertical. There is an opinion in Tosfos to say that the parashas should be horizontal. And the famous thing which is quoted from the Vilna Gaon, when someone asked him why doesn't he wear a Rebbeinu Tams, so he says that if so, he's going to have to put on 64 pairs of tefillin because of all the different combinations. Because if you're going to start working, that perhaps I'm going to have to put one pair of tefillin with a parashas vertical, another pair of tefillin with a parashas horizontal. So then it's going to keep you full-time busy. No.
No, how can it be horizontal?
You could take the same parasha and put it in horizontal. You could put the same parasha... You'd put the parasha, instead of putting it in this way, you put it in this way.
Yes, all right.
Actually, in Gemara, there's a svara that you could have in Shal Rosh one long parasha,
yes,
and for Shal Rosh.
Yes.
The only way you could do that if it's horizontal. I don't know. Right. Let's move on.
Could I just ask one question? How are those four parts made into one if you can't use glue?
With the clamp, and they're dried out. They are clamped together. You see, it's kept together,
yeah,
and it's.
But they're gaps still.
They're gaps, yeah.
Well, why don't we see them?
Possibly because of the paint, etc. But you a good pair of tefillin, you should be able to pull them apart.
Yeah.
There should be a possibility of separating. There's also another discussion: does the gap count into the shear? When you talk about the size of the square, does it have to be square, including the gaps, or is it the square when you've pressed them together? There's a lot of discussion in Poskim about
that. In our mezuzah, how is it rising? Which direction?
Now, the mezuzah is written like a...
No, horizontal or vertical?
The mezuzah is written horizontal, but standing vertical, basically.
Standing vertical.
Yes. Let's go on. The order of the parashas. Now, it says in the Gemara, Halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, Kadesh v'hoyo kivyacho mimin, and Shema v'hoyim shemoya mismoil. The famous question, what did Moshe Rabbeinu wear? So, there is a fascinating discussion record in the Seder Hadoiris about a different machlokes. That is, whether the tefillin have to be tied in new kesher every day. And Rabbeinu Eliyahu of Londres, which is local. Londres. So Rabbi Eliyahu of Londres held that the tefillin have to be tied every day. Rabbeinu Tam holds that you don't have to do a kasha every day. And he brings a raya that you have the din of three things the Talmud Chacham has to know. One of them is a kasha shel tefillin. If you're going to have to do a kasha shel tefillin every day, then everyone has to know how to do the kasha, not only a Talmud Chacham. So that shot tells you that tefillin can be a permanent kasha. So we have your machalokas. So then Rabbeinu Eliyahu was of the opinion, l'chayre, that both Shal Riyad and Shal Rosh have to do a new kesh every day. Rabbeinu Tam,
which kesh?
This one, and the one at the back. So that was the opinion of Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Rabbeinu Tam says neither of them have to be. Then there's a story in Seder HaDoiris. He brings down that there was in the Beis HaMedrash, and they were looking to resolve this. And they were saying, let's bring Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Beis HaMedrash in the times of about 800 years ago, and he says, you have to make a new kesher every day. Yorad Rabbeinu Tam Kuari. Rabbeinu Tam comes into the Beis HaMedrash like a lion, and he says, when you saw Hashem's tefillin, you saw, he says, only Ra'isim Achoiroi, and it was covered with the talus. I didn't see only the Shalyad, only not the Shalosh. A whole drama which is going on there. And what remains is Rabbeinu Tam says, you don't have to do a kesher every day. And the Rabbeinu Yehu is of the opinion you do. And then there's a pshora that Shalyad, yes, and not Shalosh. The Balatanya, he perhaps felt a mission to make a way of pshara between the opposing opinions, and he developed a kesher which l'chayre was done in the times of the Mishnah, because you have a remez to this in the Mishnah in Kalim. Here you have a kesher which you can open every day, open it and close it, that part opens, and when I put on my tefillin, I pull that closed. So you have a pshara between Rabbeinu Eliyahu and Rabbeinu Tam. There is a kesher which Abba Horetz doesn't know, and that is kavua, but there is also kshira b'kolyoim, because you pull it tight, so then you have the ukshartam lois al yodecha. That was a chiddush which he brought about, which is knowing Chabad, I don't think anyone else. But that is, now, coming back. So just like you see there, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself comes down and says that kach v'kach, and Rabbeinu Tam is allowed to disagree. And he said, if you don't have a Messiah, so with all due respect, you Mizokta in English, but I'm allowed to disagree with you. Rabbeinu Tam says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you heard kach v'kach, but then how to learn pshat in what you learned? That we can argue. So now, Moshe Rabbeinu, coming back to our point, Moshe Rabbeinu comes along with a message. Shema vo, kadesh v'hoyo ki v'yachom mi'imin, Shema v'hoyo im shemoya mismoil. Now, I'm going to try to translate in English. Mismoil means from the left or on the left. That is the machlokus of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So here I have a diagram. Kadesh v'hoyo ki v'yachom mimin. Kadesh v'hoyo ki v'yachom on the right. As you look at the tefillin, it's on the right. And then Shema v'hoyo im shemoya mismoil. Rashi says Shema v'hoyo im shemoya on the left. Rabbeinu Tam says, mismoil means start with Shema from the left extreme and then work inwards. Got it? That is the machlokes in Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi. What is the meaning of those words in Aloch L'meshim Yisrinai, Shema v'hoyim Shemai, mismoil? Does mismoil mean on the left or from the left? And hence they make a difference in the Seder, and that's where we have the difference between Rashi's and Rabbeinu Tam's. You may have heard, and you can see from a distance perhaps, there's also another two variations of called Shimush Rabbe and Raivet, and that's basically taking those two tefillin and having them back to front. I'll explain. When we say left and right, are we talking about left and right of the wearer or of the reader? So the way Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam learn, they say mi min means mi yamin hakoyre. As I said before, tefillin are a PR statement, so it's got to do with the one who's looking at my tefillin. So, the mi-min means the right of the reader. Whereas, of the viewer, thank you. The Raib and Shemusha Rabbo, they take the view that we're talking about Yemin HaManiach, and one follows Rabbeinu Tam sequence, one follows Rashi sequence, but that gives you the sense. If let's say I would take a Shalrosh, yes, Rashi's Shalrosh, and if I would wear it back to front, so I would be wearing Raib's tefillin. Got it?
Yeah.
It's the same sequence, but just back to front. Of course, we don't wear it that way.
Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam's Rebensman in two parshas.
The difference is between
the last two parshas,
yes,
of the left.
Right, and one way of remembering Rashi's, sorry, Rabbeinu Tam's, is the shins on the outside. So you got on the outer side is Kadesh, which has a shin, and you have Shema, which has a shin, so the shin on the outside, and you've got the Vahoyos B'emsa, Vahoyo Kiriyacho, and Vahoyo Imshamoya, they are the two inner ones.
Why
and
do you have a separate Sheviat Rabbeinu Tam?
Because, okay, because just like Rabbeinu Tam, it disagrees with Rashi in the order of the Parsha Shel Rosh, so here you have a Parsha of Sheviat, so this is a Shel Rosh, it's a Rabbeinu Tam Parsha. As you see, the last one is the smallest one, which is Shema. Right? Because Rabbeinu Tam is going to put the sequence of the way you have them in the Ksav, the same sequence as they are in the Shel Rosh. And so when you write Rabbeinu Tam, you're going to do 1, 2, 3, yeah. And which makes enough. I mean, I'm Psuchas Astumas, but I don't think I want to go into that now because it's much more complicated. Sorry? So, Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know. But what even the vote which I'm saying is, very good, thank you, that even though Moshe Rabbeinu understood Mismoil one way, there's still room for someone else to come along with Raius, someone with, you know, of the caliber of Rabbeinu Tam, and say Mismoil means something else. It's well known that they found tefillin of Rashi's and Rabbeinu, you know, they found Rashi's tefillin from in the Gnesis, from the time of Yechezkel and Yeshaya. And so when someone says, you see, the halacha is like Rashi, the other one says, no, that's why they were putting Gnesis. So you never win. Okay. All right. I don't know. But we do know that both opinions were existent in the times of the Nevi'im, and you have a remez in Gemara Erevin about the person wearing two Shel Rosh at the same time. Yeah? I made it tefillin. So it looks like it was, but on record, the earliest, the most well-known record is Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. Now, another record about tefillin is the inyan of the size of the tefillin. The Gemara in Yuma tells us about the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol wears a mitznefes. He wears a turban, and he wears a tzitz, which is a gold band on his forehead. And now there's a space, mokum, between the tzitz and the mitznefes to have the tefillin. How much space? The Gemara says, two etzbois. And this is the mokum, although lahalocha there's no minimum size for the tefillin, but there is a remez here that the tefillin shulrosh should be two finger breadths, which is about 4 centimeters. Now, I'm sure you've seen Chabadniks who wear these very large tefillin, and they're not so comfortable. And then you have the more common, smaller tefillin, b'maykomiflegi. They both agree, I'm talking about Mahuda Dikat tefillin, both agree on the shear of etzba'ayim. The question is whether you would measure the etzba'ayim in the tefillin themselves, in the four boxes themselves, or you count the titura also. L'chayre, if you need to have space by the klein gadol, so he has to have space for the titura also. So the svara nisanes that the titura measures the etzba'ayim is in the titura. You could argue that the titura may not have necessarily been so wide, and that therefore the etzba'ayim is measured in the bais themselves, and therefore there's the hida which is mentioned prima godim, so that's where the two minhagim are coming from, both looking to have the etzba'ayim, that some rely on the etzba'ayim in the overall measurements, and then there's those who are mahadir to have the etzba'ayim and the tefillin themselves. I think I'm running out of time.
Fire.
Fire. Fire. Fire. Fire.